Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. And Keyshawn just judging people by their looks.
No.
You're not wrong, though. No. But you're not wrong in that assessment. 888-SAY-ESPN,
888-729-3776. I am profiling in a way.
Talent evaluators that are out there, especially those who lead franchises.
That's all I'm saying.
There's sometimes where, like you said, you point to them and say, that guy is deciding your fate.
That guy, him.
Yeah.
This dude right here, Jay, is making a decision.
With extra hairspray in his hair.
Making a decision on whether or not
you
can play.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. Does he look like he know anything about a sport? And he's making a decision on whether you can play based on some numbers somebody gave him and said he's really fast and can jump high.
And that's the problem with the modern analytics is if you put too much on that, then you really start becoming a prisoner to it because you don't have the experience of being a player or at least having some type of executive experience that you could
Rick Spielman?
You could be behind. I was going to ask you, is there somebody, though, that doesn't look the part that impressed you that you're like, but he knows what he's doing? Like, is there someone like that? That you've seen that you just
I had one on the basketball side. I mean, Jerry Krause.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Jerry Krause
could find a player.
Jerry Krause, like, just.
I'm trying to think in football. I mean,
Brian Cashman really played. Like, you know, Brian Cashman's done a great job for 20 plus years with the Yankees, and really all he worked his way up from a pencil pusher
but see,
to GM.
Part of the problem with me is some of these guys that, like Brandon Beam, general manager of Buffalo Bills, he doesn't look a part, like a. General manager of football guy. Mm-hmm. But I know him, and I've talked to him, and I've sat in the room and studied film with him on many different occasions when we were together at the Carolina Panthers. He was just a scout, and him and I, when I come out of practice, we sit down, we evaluate talent together and everything, and I knew he knew.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he knew. But a guy like Jerry Angelo, who was with me at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went on to become the general manager of Chicago Bears, one day I'm at practice, and we're standing on the sideline, and Jerry Angelo, we're talking, and Jerry Angelo, Edgerrin James had just had a great game. And he goes, you know, I really didn't know how good that guy was. Wait a minute.
What?
You getting ready to be the general manager of Chicago Bears, and you're scouting players, but you're telling me you didn't know how good he really was. Like, come on, man. Did you watch him at Miami?
Well, then, Key, that goes to another question. I mean, how much credibility are you putting into your scouts that are actually going out to come back to you with that information? If you don't have a feel for the game,
but
if you don't have a feel for a
talent. You better have some scouts that do.
So now you're trusting people. If you don't have a feel, now you're trusting people and their credibility about their feel.
But our scouting department was one of the best. Okay, Warren Sapp, John Lynch's, Rondé Barber's.
That's how you do it.
Our scouting department was one of the best. Tony Dungy, Rich McKay. He worked in the scouting department with them. But he was a guy that went out to identify the talent to bring it back to Rich McKay. And he didn't recognize how good Edgerrin James was.
That could be dangerous. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we're asking, good, bad, great, when it comes to the quarterbacks in this draft that you'll have, because we just told you about the last – 20 years or 21 years of drafts, 20 years, and we have 38 quarterbacks taken in the top 10, and we categorize them. But what about the five that we think could go in this first round? Where would they go? And also, of course, the generational or stupid conversation, as we didn't get a chance to really go deeper into the Atlanta thing. So why don't we do that first as we go to the calls. Leroy in Palm Beach on that conversation about the Atlanta icons. Really, there's somebody bigger than Trae Young? Leroy?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Yeah, obviously the two you mentioned, but what about a guy like Deion Sanders who played for two major Atlanta franchises?
Yeah, prime time.
Right, obviously, yeah.
I don't know what would
man. We can go through
somebody to make that tweet.
We can go through a long list.
I just think it starts and ends with Hank Aaron.
Yeah, you go Hank Aaron. You can go Smoltz. You can go Glavin. You can go Chipper Jones, Maddox. I mean, we can go Dave Justice. I mean, we can go on and on and on and pick different sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there was once a guy that was held to another level called the Vic Experience. Michael Vick, prior to his dog incident, was Atlanta. He was the city. period. So, you know, you can pick a lot of.
So his impact was felt beyond the sport, which is what the tweet was about. The impact felt beyond the sport.
We need to bring this
the
man
whole
on the
city
show.
Was buzzing. Right?
Man, it's Mike Vick, number 7, headband.
Yeah. I want to hear this guy defend himself. He needs to call into the show and defend yourself on this.
The Vick experience.
Read his tweets after the fact. He realized his mistake.
All right,
thanks,
grab another one.
Thanks for all the feedback.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Patrick in Atlanta. Patrick.
Yeah, man, first off, let me say that J. Will does not want this smoke when it comes to his ridiculous thoughts on LeBron over MJ for the GOAT conversation. And
well, then bring it then.
Oh,
well, then bring it then.
Patrick,
well, then
okay.
bring it then, Patrick.
Okay.
Bring it.
I,
go ahead.
I got 3 points you can't refute. I got three
go
points
ahead.
You can't refute.
Go ahead.
First of all, LeBron James wasn't even the best player on his team when he was in Miami. And Michael Jordan would have never gotten smoked against Dirk Nowitzki and J.J. Barea in the finals.
But that's not a fact. That's subjective. I just want you to know. That's subjective.
He said Nowitzki and J.J. Barea.
And J.J. Barea, yeah. Just skipping Steve Nash and everybody. Okay, that's fine.
I like it, though. It's good. It's
go ahead. Here are the 2 points.
The simple fact is that Jordan never played with more than one All-Star on his team. And Jordan played when you can be knocked down. And if he were playing in today's game where the silliest ticky-tack foul is called, he would average 40, 50 points a game.
Okay.
And
so,
LeBron James never retired from the sport, so he has more years to compile more stats.
So you only determine the greatest player of all time just by scoring points?
No, I determine it by winning. I determine it by being the most feared person on the court and being the best player on your team at all times. When LeBron James went to Miami, Dwayne Wade was the GOAT on that team.
And LeBron, I can't.
Patrick, I'll tell you what. Patrick, I am on your side with the Jordan versus LeBron debate, but I would never say that LeBron wasn't the best player on his team.
Maybe he was the best player on his team. Maybe in the transition stages going to Miami, it took time to become the guy. But it probably was Dwayne's, probably.
Here's how the story went.
A little bit in the first season.
No. In Miami, this is how it went. In Miami, that year, I was very close to all that stuff. I covered all that stuff very closely.
I didn't ask you.
That stuff, well, I'm going to tell you. What happened was that year started out awkward. They were a 500 team early on.
Uh-huh.
And they had a conversation, and they had to figure it out. And it was Dwayne Wade, sort of like what Kyrie did with James Harden, and said, it's your team.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not yourself if the ball's not in your hands. And Dwayne Wade figured out how to play off the ball. It became LeBron's team. And LeBron was the best player on that team. But Patrick was making that argument.
But the fact that Dwayne Wade, I would argue with you.
Is that generational or stupid?
Can I jump in here? I mean, everybody holds this against LeBron. Like, who were his coaches for the first several years in Cleveland? Like, because Michael Jordan had Doug Collins. Doug Collins is a legendary coach. Like, he allowed Michael Jordan to unleash.
Yeah.
And then Michael Jordan got Phil Jackson. So can we talk about management and how that plays? He's like, oh, it's only about winning. Well, okay, management has to put you in a position to win. Isn't that management's job?
But I would – see, I'm going to counter with you in that LeBron had
– Paul Silas?
Paul Silas was a good coach. After him was Mike Brown.
Okay.
He had Mike Brown, who also, again, defensive-minded coach. But we all know that LeBron had a say in who was coaching him. Because there were coaches that he wanted nothing to do with. He was the one who decided coaches. Michael Jordan never got involved in that stuff until the very end when Phil wasn't coming back. Well, I'm not coming back. That was at the end, though, when they already had success. That is a big difference between those two. All right, I mean, that's true. That's the difference between those two.
LeBron was a kid, though, early in his career.
Yeah.
He came out of high school. Michael Jordan went to college.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
his success early on in Cleveland is a plus. He's a kid, man.
It sounds like people just have animosity towards LeBron.
Well, of course they do.
Like, it's fine. I get it.
I'll never pick a side, Jordan or LeBron, because I love them both. I enjoy them both.
Look at all the things LeBron does. Passing. I mean, I understand he doesn't score 50 points
Jordan,
a night.
Jordan passed too, man. He passed.
But not like LeBron.
I understand that, but the game also has changed to a degree where.
Oh, I agree.
And you know that, Jay. You played in the NBA. Why am I explaining to you?
No, I agree.
This is also another, these morph into other discussions, all right? That's the greatness conversation. Then we talk about a generational conversation, which is when people say Steph Curry changed the game more than anybody because of the 3-point shot and the distance he'll shoot it from. Where I just feel like, and again, we'll get into this stuff later, who knows when, that LeBron and the way he passes. That also changed the game. from an era that everybody was a singular player who carried teams by themselves.
Well, Magic did it before LeBron.
He brought it back.
But also, Jordan changed the game in a lot of ways. Now. I know, but this was going to happen. Jordan changed the game in a lot of different ways, too.
Yes.
Pulling up at the elbow, shooting, turnarounds, going to the cup, you know, all sorts of things.
How about just dunking on people?
Dunking on people.
That was also something that changed everything as well. And was a
two-way
big part
guy,
of why
one taking, of the best
taking
guys
the NBA
doing
from Bird and Magic and bringing it into also, obviously, the worldwide conversation. All right, Kyle Pitts, as we go back to the NFL, says the first four picks will be quarterbacks. We'll see if our NFL insider agrees with him. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN App.
Think about Kyle Pitts and that unique talent.
Kyle Pitts is not just a tight end. This is 6'6", 240, 245 pounds. If you take a player like Kyle Pitts, you just make him a mismatch problem.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hunt in for Zubin. And as we talk about an NFL draft that will finally get here tomorrow, headbanger, go ahead. Let's bring in Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, Dan, good morning. I'm sure you've seen this. Kyle Pitts, as all these draft picks are now making the rounds through the media, doing all their different appearances, and he said something that was kind of interesting. He said he expects the first four picks to be quarterbacks. Now, a lot of us wonder if maybe it could be. But do you think he'd actually go that far where he's not taken in the top four? After the top three, what do you expect to happen at four?
Yeah, unless Kyle Pitts is changing positions, I don't think the top four picks are going to be quarterbacks because I think he's going to be the fourth one. But I will say this. Once the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and whoever the 49ers are taking, be it Mac Jones, Trey Lance, whoever, then the Atlanta pick at 4 becomes very interesting. Let's say the Niners take Jones and the Broncos love Trey Lance. Now that Broncos may want to make an aggressive move from 9 to 4 to get their quarterback. And this is, again, hypothetical. I'm just putting names with teams. If the Falcons get a good enough package to trade out of 4 and not have to move too far down, then, yeah, the first four picks could be quarterbacks. I just don't think Atlanta's going to take one. I think Atlanta will take Kyle Pitts if they stay at 4. If they trade out because some team wants to go up to get a quarterback, then, yes, Kyle Pitts' prediction comes true. And Atlanta, if they only have to go back to, say, 9, can still get a really good player and add picks to a roster that that needs help.
Let me ask you this, Dan. Based on what you just said, is the Kyle Pitts at 4 to Atlanta, if they stay put, is the determining factor whether Julio Jones is going to be there? Is he going to be there or not be there?
It could depend on that, yes, because I think if they draft Kyle Pitts, then they consider Julio Jones to at least some extent to be replaced, right? I know Pitts is a tight end, but we've had a lot of conversations about how he's more than that, and, you know, his size and his speed and all that. And they have Calvin Ridley, who's a first-round pick a couple of years ago. So that might free them up to discuss a Julio Jones trade more seriously. This is something that would be done for salary cap and salary, you know, cash relief to move on from an aging player who you know, is still obviously a great player, but, you know, has had kind of been in and out in terms of practice with various ailments over the last couple of years. And it wouldn't be something the Falcons could really do until after June 1st for cap reasons. So it's not a sure thing that they'd move on from him, but it's something that they're definitely discussing.
I just hope for the Atlanta Falcons that they certainly don't think moving on from Julio Jones and replacing him, Dan, with Kyle Pitts is the same thing. Even though we know it's not, you said it, but I just hope that they are not thinking that. Let me ask you this, Dan. The Dallas Cowboys, we saw them, I guess, shock the draft last year with CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma being taken, and no one thought that that would be the call for them, but it was. What do they do at 10?
So last year they went in thinking defense, but then at their pick they had a player in CeeDee Lamb who was one of their top five players in the whole draft, and they were picking, what, 17? They had to take him. So that could happen again, sure. Like, let's say Kyle Pitts is sitting there at 10 somehow, then maybe they go off of their plan. But that's not the expectation. And the way the Cowboys are approaching this draft is, let's fix the defense. So I would imagine if they stay at 10, that they would take probably the best cornerback available. I think maybe J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. I think I would lean Horn if I had to make a prediction there. The thing to watch for Dallas is if they're sitting at 10 and one or two of the quarterbacks is still there, is that when New England from 15, Washington from 19, Chicago from 20 start thinking about making a big move up the board, and then Dallas can slide back and get a really good defensive player and also add picks as well. So that's something to watch out for if those quarterbacks last beyond that top eight or nine.
Dan, what could you see the Packers doing as relates to finally getting Aaron Rodgers some help? What do you see?
Yeah, I think they'll probably trade up and take a quarterback. No, wait, that was last year. They won't do that again, I don't think. Look, the Packers, you have to understand, the Packers don't draft the way we want them to. They don't do it the way, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers needs help, get him a receiver. Yes, they could do that, because where they're sitting in the first round, there's some value at wide receiver. There's some interesting players. But that was true last year, too, and they made the long-term pick. The Packers believe that they are a very good team. They have won 13 games each of the last 2 years and been to the NFC Championship game. They are not going to draft just to help this year's team. They could take a receiver. Yes, Davante Adams is in the last year of his contract, right? We don't know what the future is going to be with Aaron Rodgers. They could look at it and say, yes, we need receiver help, not just for the short term, but the long. It wouldn't be just, let's keep Aaron Rodgers happy. The Packers keep the broad view all the time in everything that they do. So if they take a receiver, yes. Friday morning, we will be hailing it as, oh, finally, finally, finally. Even though, by the way, they've drafted Pro Bowl receivers for Aaron Rodgers in the second round four or five times during his career. But yes, they could definitely look that way, because that could be a need both short-term and long-term for them as they look ahead to the next several years. Remember, the Packers, they're in major cap trouble next year. We don't know what they're going to do with Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think they do either. So they could be looking at adding pieces for, you know, kind of a rebuild of sorts.
Jeez. Amazing. Dan Graziano joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline, KJZ, ESPN Radio. So I've got to ask you the Jet question, of course, and that is Zach Wilson at two and Trevor Lawrence is going one. Zach Wilson at two, and we've heard varying accounts about Zach Wilson and his potential. What's the latest you're hearing from the evaluators about, like, we've made a list, you know, who's going to be good, who's going to be great, and who could end up being a bust. What are you hearing about Zach Wilson and his potential as the expected number two pick by the Jets?
Well, he's very exciting, and I think a lot of teams fell in love with him during the pre-draft process, and obviously the Jets, who we expect to take him tomorrow night, I almost said next week, it's tomorrow night, they were one of the teams that did, and they're in the position to take him. Look, throwing on the move, athleticism, decision-making, all those things, I mean, he checks the boxes But you mentioned, I mean, like, if there's five guys going in the top 10 or even five guys going in the first round, history tells us that they're not all going to pan out. We don't know which ones are and which ones aren't. The best guess that these teams have made is that Zach Wilson will be one of the ones that does. I think the 49ers certainly would have liked to be able to get up to two to take him, but they couldn't because the Jets had decided on him. So, yeah, he's viewed very, very highly as the guy second best behind Trevor Lawrence in this draft. You can even find an evaluator or two that said, you know, that they like Wilson maybe better. I don't know whether that's because we've just sort of been on Trevor Lawrence so long that people are finding things to say about him. But, yeah, there are things about Zach Wilson's game that people like a great deal as a high-end prospect at the position.
Dan, we appreciate you. I'm going to be waiting with bated breath and, of course, never be comfortable with no matter what they do at number two. Thanks so much, Dan.
My pleasure.
All right. Let's get back to calls, guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because I'm not the only Jet fan that has irrational thoughts. Yousef in Jersey joins us now. Yousef?
Gentlemen, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning.
What's up, Yousef?
What's happening?
Hey, got a good question for you guys. If everyone's opinion about Kyle Pitts is so high, why would the Jets not take him number two and then pair him with a third or fourth pick if he's available with his own quarterback, Trask? That instantly gives you chemistry right there between two people, and then we can fill in the blanks with other picks.
So you're saying take him at two and take
Kyle Trask
at 23?
He means like second round, third round, something like that.
Joe Douglas would not have a job here in New York.
I wouldn't do that. I'm not taking.
Yousef was just asking, like, why wouldn't?
Yeah,
you
I know. I just wouldn't do it.
Explain why you wouldn't do it, though.
You've let go of Sam Darnold for Kyle Trask.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's
doing
what you're
that.
Trying to
I'm
tell
not
me.
Letting Sam Darnold go for Kyle Trask. Yeah. No, I didn't need to do that because I could have kept Sam, and if I wanted to pick Pitts up, I could have dropped out of the two spot, picked up some more picks, and then stayed at five or six or something like that, and got Kyle Pitts.
Al is in Wisconsin. Al.
Al.
No, Al.
Uh-oh. I heard a turning blinker.
He's turning. He's turning.
He's turning. Make sure to turn it safe, Al.
All right. We lose Al. We move on from Al. We go to Al, you good?
Yeah. Here we go.
There you go.
You guys are talking so much about the football. So I wanted to get back to the statement that Dr. J made.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I disagree with the first and second teams. But I will share this as far as the purchasing of a championship and the special players and that. Mm-hmm. If you recall, we can go and I can give you about eight of them. Utah, you had Malone and Stockton. These were mainstays. These were people that were foundations. Isaiah Thomas with Detroit, the main person stayed. Jordan with the Bulls stayed. Larry Bird, known as the Celtic State, even though they had other players, Magic was the foundation there. Duncan was the foundation, San Antonio, even back with the Knicks, Willis Reed, Frazier, Bradley, Monroe. All of these were bullhorns. They were stable. Jerry West, Chamberlain, Goodrich, Harrison, all of these, even Philly, Dr. J, Malone. So the main person never left. That person was known as the team. So as a general manager may get a couple pieces together and
but
you
that, know what
trade.
I'll say this, Al, and thanks for the call and for the historical breakdown. what you had then was I got my franchise player and now as a GM I got to build around him. What you have in the new generation is I'm a franchise player and they're not building around me. And I'm losing my prime years, so let me get out of here. Charles Barkley was the mainstay in Philly. Charles Barkley was like, I'm done. Like we're not building
and
right. Get me out of here to Phoenix.
But I hate how fans hold it against players. Like, oh, well, they left. They abandoned us. I'm like, well, you weren't helping them achieve their goal.
Right.
Like, why do I have to be patient? Like, if we're talking about all these general managers and you're like, look, you're trusting that person to make decisions on whether you can play or not, or whether you can win a championship. After a while, I'm like, you ain't getting it done.
Well, when you think about what he just said, though, and you know me, I'm going geographically. Everybody he named was in a big market. Mm. Everyone he named. Mm-hmm. So when you say, well, what about small markets? They screw it up. Cleveland was cool. LeBron was good. But him and the ownership couldn't get along because the owner didn't understand that I got a $1 billion dude playing for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be richer than me one day.
His franchise value went skyrocketing when LeBron left. Plummeted.
So you've got to kind of manage that and massage that a certain way. Here's another one for you. Orlando, they had the Diesel, Shaq.
And Penny.
All they had to do was pay Shaq what he wanted. They made a decision. Well, you know, we're going to offer you $90 million. When I know, it's all relative. Don't start laughing. It's all relative, and we're talking about sports and basketball and big money.
I know.
But Shaq looks over there and says, y'all just gave Lonzo Mourning 100, and y'all can't – they won't give me 100?
And also that back
like,
then,
what?
Shaq also was seeing, for him, big market, big opportunities
exactly.
because he was becoming –
But I could have fixed that.
Such a personality.
But I could have fixed that in Orlando with no problem.
Completely
I'm going to give you 150. Yeah. I'm going to make you the highest paid player in the history of basketball a mile.
Back then, the fear was I won't make that money back. But it costs you more to lose those players.
Yes.
And another example of currently, again, the guy we keep watching is Dame Lillard. And when does Dame Lillard reach a point where it's like, I want to win a championship and I can't do it if I stay here, but he's showing that loyalty that we all love.
Or Bradley Beal.
But at the end of their careers, if they're ringless, you know, that's obviously a big part of the conversation.
And people destroy you in the media all the time. Well, he's not going to win one there.
Yeah, you're not a winner. Yeah,
you're not a winner.
But you're also loyal. All right, real late on this. So stay in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to your calls, but right now we've got a SportsCenter.
And that will do it. The Nets able to conquer the demon that is the Toronto Raptors. 116-103 the final as Brooklyn celebrates an official playoff berth with a win.
Ryan Rucco on Yes Network as the Nets become the first Eastern Conference team to clinch a playoff berth, a 116-103 win over the Raptors. They lead the 76ers by a game and a half with the top spot in the East. KD had 17 points, 10 rebounds for his eighth double-double of the season. The Mavericks, they routed the Warriors 133-103. They used a 28-0 run, a 28-0 in the first half to lead them that way as Golden State went scoreless for 9 minutes and 38 seconds. Hard to believe, but it's true. It's the longest scoring drought, according to Elias, in a game since December 2009. Steph Curry had 27 points, 5 three-pointers. He's got 90 threes now in the month of April. There was also one game left for him. That's Thursday against Minnesota. Ravens coach John Harbaugh, he's guaranteed that Baltimore will pick up Lamar Jackson's fifth-year option. He said that on the Rich Eisen Show. The 2019 MVP will make a guaranteed $23.1 million in 2022. It's a pretty big raise from his $1.7 million salary last season. Jackson's 30 wins since taking over as Baltimore starter in week 11 of the 2018 season, the most in the NFL. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So we've been asking, as the draft is tomorrow, what GM is most desperate to get that first-round pick right? We've talked about the Niners. They made the big trade. They got to get that right. The Jets at number two, perpetually, seems like they got to get it right. The Bears, of course, are a mess. They might be on the hottest seat of all in Ryan Pace. The Giants maybe at 11. The Cowboys at 10. Anybody else?
Howie Roseman. Mm. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Get a receiver?
He's got to address whatever it is. He's got to get it right. Whatever addressing is.
How come he hasn't gotten as much heat? It was all on Peterson. It was all on Carson Wentz.
Well, I don't know that he hasn't gotten
heat.
He's
gotten a lot of heat.
He has?
I think he has. It's just
feel like nearly as much as the other guys did.
I mean, he's been getting heat on this show.
Well, it's not really.
That's true. You guys, right.
Philly,
yes.
I'm sure in Philadelphia,
yes,
he's probably getting torched, right? But from a national perspective, it's like, Eagles ain't really national like that, where people ain't really dialing in. We talk about Chicago.
They were a Super Bowl champ with a young quarterback. It almost seemed like they were set up.
Yeah, but you got to also remember that they got rid of their young quarterback here within the last several months.
Yeah.
So leading up to getting rid of Carson Wentz was when his name was really cracking and popping. Since then, we've moved on from him to the Ryan Paces of the world. We're focusing in on that sort of stuff because Chicago doesn't have a young quarterback where the Eagles have Jalen Hurts sitting there. Now they got to figure out what they want to do at 12. Do you go and you get a Jalen Waddle or do you get a Devontae Smith who Jalen Hurts has a relationship with, who kind of can give them inside information? They went and got Jalen Rigger. They reached on him, missed on Jefferson. Jefferson goes to Minnesota, has basically an all-pro season where Jalen Rigger, what did he catch, 20 balls all year long? I mean, he was in and out of lineup, hamstring here, finger there.
Yeah, they got to get him right sure that pick is correct, no doubt.
But they need some receivers in general. I mean, they don't really have anything. DeSean Jackson was their speed guy. He's now with the Rams. Jalen Rigger is a guy who can run. But if you add one of those other two Alabama guys to the mix at 12, then you probably can get a guy that can lift the coverage for the other guys that come underneath.
All right, Eagles definitely on that
list.
Got
one. And I know we talked about it. The 15th pick. I mean, Bill Belichick, the Patriots.
Interesting.
It's very interesting, right? Considering how much they spent. Right, getting all these big time players.
It's almost like this is now the cherry on top after spending all that money in free agency. Now have a good draft and complete the deal.
Whatever he decides.
Obviously, Keith. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Whatever he decides.
I know, but I'm just saying, like there is this whole following of Bill Belichick going into the season, considering how last year was disappointing. Just how he will follow that up, mm-hmm. and internally in that Boston area, like people are talking about, like what are we doing? I know Keith doesn't like going there. Because Bill Belichick can never be on the hot seat, and I understand how people can say that. But still, that's a conversation that's festering.
He's not on the hot seat, but he's on the I have to question your move seat.
Yes,
because
every move
some of his draft picks in recent history hadn't panned out at the level in which you would think. But that's also he has had a luxury for so long where you could take flyers on guys because you were stacked from one end to the next. So if you hit on a guy, it's like, okay, we hit on him. If I miss on a guy, I missed on him. It's almost like basketball where a team has the last pick in the draft. For many years as a Laker fan, we always had like the last pick in the draft.
Didn't matter because you had Kobe.
Like, we had Kobe and Powell and Shaq and Kobe and D. Fish and him. It was like, that dude ain't going to make the team any damn way.
Mm-hmm. You just put D. Fish in the same conversation with Kobe Powell.
I'm talking about team, man. D. Fish, was Mr. Clutch.
I know what he was saying.
No, you was a Derek Fisher type player. I'm just saying.
You're going to stop disrespecting me, man. You're going to stop disrespecting me. You've been doing it a lot lately.
Those comps are off the charts. Let me read a tweet to you guys. Let me read a tweet about.
D-Fish can go. Fine. He couldn't go like I can go.
I'm just saying he can go.
You call me a D-Fish type player.
A guard, man. A small guard
No.
It he could called facilitate.
You I was taller than D-Fish.
He called you clutch.
Are you taller than D-Fish?
Derek Fisher. Oh, boy.
See, now I'm going to have to, Evan, find out who's higher.
You guys discuss. Or Jay Will. As we're talking about Howie Roseman, so JD sent a tweet saying, last week at the Phillies game, there was a Fire Howie chant.
See, there you go.
So he's getting heat in Philly, no doubt about that. All right, I definitely meant nationally. There's no doubt about it. When it comes to GMs in the hot seat, Robert on Twitter said Bears. Mike said the Cowboys. He said, "Don't let Jerry do Jerry things." Like taking Kyle Pitts when they need defense. If Kyle Pitts is at 10, doesn't make any sense.
Alan, I want to let Cowboy fans know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Jerry doing Jerry things. It's Jerry being Jerry, talking. He's not picking the players. He's not.
Well, if that was the case, he would have taken Johnny Manziel.
He's not picking
the players. And we know
that didn't
happen, right?
He's getting intel from a great scouting department set up by Will Clay and his son Steven and Jerry Jr. Mm-hmm. They're the ones putting everything together.
Okay.
He's out front. Hell, he had to turn to Mike McCarthy to ask Mike, hey, how many coach? Tell me how many of their numbers, the plays they're missing. He had to turn to him to find out.
Don't we all have to have that syrupy Texas twang just when we talk. When we talk about Jerry, we all have to do it.
Man, I love Jerry, man. I ain't gonna say one bad thing about Jerry. I ain't gonna say one bad thing about him because I love him. He's a character, but right. you know, that's who he is.
Evan did the research. So what's the tale of the tape, Evan, between Derek Fisher and Jay Will?
Yeah, Jay 6'2", 195, according to Basketball Reference. Mm-hmm. That's what he played at. Derek Fisher, 6'1", 200.
So you slightly you
nah.
You're an Air Force
put respect in my name. Player. Put it up. Just give me respect, Key. Don't try to say little. No,
I didn't say little. I said you are an Air Force shoe.
No,
above.
No, I got video too. Every time I saw
Key Fisher, I'm not talking about your game.
Well, that's what you're doing. No. You're being disrespectful, damn
it. Clearly, your game was ridiculous. You was the Naismith Player of the Year. Yeah. Should have went to Boozer. You were also...
You see how he builds you up and then like cuts you at the knees at the same
time. Subtle, though.
Naismith and what's the other one?
No, you don't know.
No, what's the other? Man, what's the other one? Just tell me.
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out the other.
Some other one.
Yeah, we'll check
no,
it out.
No, the
more
trophy
Google
that
happening.
It's Naismith and what
Why you want me to help you?
Because I don't
I ain't going to help you.
So the over-under on when these guys will start stop arguing, we'll do that. And, of course,
and
more
McDonald's
over-unders
into a Burger King, but that's all right.
As well. If you want to make some money on draft night, believe it or not, we have over-unders on the draft.
Over-unders. Hey, Bali.
Bolly, we got over on this coming up.
Let's
that's
go to
after Hoboken
and make these bets.
As this from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, jeez. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take the chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. Their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price, especially here in the Northeast when it gets cold. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Riley in South Carolina, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, Jay, one, listen to man. I'm a big fan. Hey, Jay, I appreciate your football acumen. Hey, Zubin, you the man. Key, I appreciate you and you down there in Carolina too, baby. I appreciate
More
that.
More from Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
John J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline as we creep closer to the NFL Draft tomorrow night. Full coverage, of course, everywhere you can find us. ESPN, ESPN Radio, all of it. And so when it comes to the draft, it's not only as predicting who's going to go where, but, you know, there's also different over-unders, right? I'm gonna make some money. Let's play a little game. Let's play a little NFL draft over under as we bring in Evan to run the show.
Here we go. Justin Fields draft position, 7.5. By the way, all of these numbers courtesy of our friends at Caesars William Hill.
Justin Fields, 7.5 over under. I'm gonna say over.
I'm gonna say over.
Yeah, I'm starting.
I hate it, though. I hate it.
I don't mean you believe it, but
I hate it.
No, I'm starting to lose faith because I spoke to somebody last night that I trust and I believe in, and he thinks it's Trey Lance to the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm going to have to say over.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the media and fans love Justin Fields. The evaluators, not as much. That's reality. Go ahead, Ep.
All right, Penei Sewell, the top offensive lineman in this draft. 5.5 on his draft position. Over, under?
5.5 would be, five is Cincinnati. Right?
I would take the under.
I'm going to take the under.
I would take the under.
Yeah.
I'm trying to protect Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think you're
right. I have to.
I think that's the under.
I have to.
I'm going
to
say over just because I think Cincinnati will screw it up.
You think they're going to take a wide receiver like Jamar Chase?
I think they're going to take a receiver or trade out of the spot trying to get cutesy because
AJ
Green.
What if Pitts is there, though? What if Atlanta, like, right? What if Pitts is there at five?
Yeah.
Does that make Cincinnati change their mind? I can get an offensive lineman later.
I don't know what Cincinnati's tight end situation is like. I don't know that block.
Ev, next up.
Yeah, over under Alabama players taken in the first in the top 10 picks. 2.5.
I would say under.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I would say under too.
Yeah, you got Mac and you got the two wide receivers.
Yeah, and Sertan.
Sertan, that's right. Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe over.
Because it's top 10.
Top 10.
And it's 2.5?
I would say under. And the reason I'm saying under is as much as we keep talking about Sertan, from a national standpoint, more people are pushing the Cowboys to go after J.C. Horn, who's more physical, snack, crackle, pop, has a little more physical attributes. He can pick him up and put him down. Plays a lot more man-to-man coverage. I mean, I'm starting to lean toward him going to the Cowboys.
Okay. So potential of 4, but you think it 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
First USC player drafted, 16.5 over under.
Who will be the first?
No.
USC.
USC player, like what? Any USC player will be drafted in the top 16 picks or after that?
I would say under.
Who?
Elijah Tucker, offensive guard. He'll be drafted right around that sweet spot.
Yeah. That's Elijah Vera Tucker, over under draft position, is at 16.5
right
on Caesars.
There.
Arizona.
He's right there.
Over.
I have no idea.
Under.
Under. I'll take keys
My
later
Gambo
on that.
Gambo said it, Vera Tucker. So.
First non-quarterback drafted, pick 3.5.
I mean, it's right,
I would say
right there.
I would say over.
Yeah.
I would go over, too.
Sorry, 4.5. 4.5.
It's 4.5 really or 3.5?
It's 4.5. It's 4.5. My bad.
No, it's different.
I would still say over.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say under.
I'm saying under.
Because you got the three quarterback, got four
then
quarterbacks.
Then you got Atlanta.
And then Atlanta.
Then Atlanta.
You think Atlanta's going to trade out and there'll
no,
be another
quarterback? All quarterbacks. Four
you think all four are going to be
yes,
quarterbacks?
Absolutely.
Atlanta's definitely taking a quarterback.
I believe they're going to take a
Matt
quarterback.
Matt Ryan has 3 years left on his deal. He's taking
a
quarterback.
I think they're going to take a quarterback.
Instead of an
offensive
weapon.
Well, it's not really 3 years. It's two, basically.
Fair.
Right. First wide receiver. This does not count Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. First wide receiver drafted, 5.5.
Over.
I'll take over because I have the Bengals get him Penei Sewell.
Mm-hmm. Over.
Over.
Key? Yeah.
Najee Harris draft position, 28.5.
Under.
Under.
No way he gets past the Jets at 23.
Under.
He will if Jalen Waddle's still on the board as he was in our mock draft.
We'll have to have a conversation about that.
All right, Jalen Waddle, 2021 draft position, 11.5.
Over.
Over.
Confident. Devontae Smith, 2021 draft position, 11.5.
Over.
Over.
Even Devontae Smith, huh?
Either one of them going to go to 12 to Philadelphia. Jamar Chase will be the first receiver off the board.
That means there's only one going in the top 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the number? 12.5?
I thought it was
11.5.
Yeah. I'm going to go over also.
I go over.
Last one. Trey Lance. Draft position, 6.5.
Under.
Trey
under.
Lance?
I'll go under.
Under.
I'm going to say over. That was riveting.
It.
A lot of energy there.
Yeah.
That was great. That was our NFL draft.
What was our host?
Over
know,
unders.
No, that was fine.
And now, did we good. Now did we write these down is the key because, of course, it won't matter if we don't remember what we all – picked? I mean, we got to come back. It's all on the top of your head.
Key's big brain. It's the big brain. What?
They say you've got a big brain.
I didn't say anything. I'm waiting for you to finish the show. Or not
well,
finish
we still
the show.
Have,
finish.
Yeah, we still have 2 hours.
Finish this segment.
You didn't have anything else to add. I was just, all right. So we'll remember and we'll see how it goes the day after the draft. And we'll see how we all did. But, I mean.
Devontae Smith, 11.
That's
half,
interesting, though, what
under.
You said about those guys, though. Yeah.
It was the last one.
It's the Board receivers.
I just wanted to see if his brain was functioning right this morning.
My brain is trying to just keep up with you guys. I'm here to do is keep up with you guys. But we are here.
Yeah, moving like a turtle,
to
man.
Get you ready for the draft. To get you ready for the draft, that's what we are doing. And we will take your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and more, including the Nets clinching the playoffs. KJZ, ESPN Radio.